If you'll open up your Bibles to John chapter 12, and we are next week is our Easter Sunday. I want to encourage you to be here. I want to encourage you to invite your friends, your family, and yes, even your enemies. I want you to invite them to come to church, and afterwards we'll have a little bit of fun for the children, and I believe that there's going to be some pictures taken, and for those. And so I want to encourage everybody to be here that can be here, and it'll be encouragement of the Lord. Easter Sunday, our Resurrection Sunday, I believe it is, as the Bible teaches us, is the most important holiday. You know, there's many religions of the world, many, many religions. And we are set apart by the fact that we serve a living Savior and the rest of them serve a dead, buried Savior. And I'll tell you what, if you ask me what the difference is, I would rather have a living Savior to worship than having a dead Savior to worship. And so I want to encourage you to bring folks, and we'll have a good time in the Lord. Brother Cleo, why don't you come up and read for us John chapter 12.
Good morning, beloved. John chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of the grave, and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words, and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me, receiveth not my words. He that rejecteth me, receiveth not my words. Hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me commandment, what I should say, and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we again thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that we've had to open up your word, Lord, to hear from you today. And Lord, I just pray now that you'd help us to apply each and everything that we will hear and see in your word today, Lord. And we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. I don't know about you all, but I have often asked myself, as we think about this week, and typically we call it Palm Sunday, and the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. And I've always asked myself, how in such a short time can it go from palm leaves, folks taking off their coats and putting them in the street, shouting and hollering Hosanna, and praising his name and bowing down to him? And how in such a short time? Because again, folks, we're talking in a matter of days, that it went from him being praised to being hung on a cross and put into a tomb. How could things change so fast? How could it get there so quickly? When you look at the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ had done, and as I took the time this week, and I spent some time reading in each gospel account before his crucifixion, and I was reading of the things that were going on, and how 5,000 were fed, and how Lazarus was raised from the dead, and how many marvelous miracles that were performed, and all of the things that were going on, and all the things that were happening, and the Lord Jesus Christ sitting down with his disciples, and just telling them that he would be betrayed, and just laying out the entire plan. And then I look at that triumphant day coming in. And how could it be going so well and then wind up, apparently, or for practical purposes, looking so bad? Well, as we look at the Word of God here, in verse number 46 of what we've been reading, the Lord Jesus Christ said here, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." And as I got to looking at it, and I got to thinking about it, and I got to thinking about the events, and praise the Lord, next week we're gonna celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. But as I got to thinking about it, And in the scriptures that we read, and we saw that it was prophecy being fulfilled. It was things that from the beginning of time that God Himself planned out. That there was a particular way things had to go. There were particular things that had to happen in order for the Lord Jesus Christ to do the work that God sent him there to do. And as I look at these scriptures and I think about these, and if we look over there at the verse number 37 of this chapter, it says, "But though he had done so many miracles before him, yet they believed not on him." You know, I got to thinking about that, and as we start out, reading about in the chapter, and the Lord Jesus Christ is at the house of Lazarus that he had raised from the dead, and we think about all of the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ did, but yet there was so much unbelief, because while he was there at Lazarus' house, Martha was serving, and Mary came into the room, and she opened up that box of ointment of spikenard, and she poured it on his feet, and she wiped his feet with his hair, and again she was giving all of that she had. You know, did Martha or did Mary quite understand really what she was doing? Well, probably not. You see, because all she saw is her Savior. She saw her Lord. And she was honoring him. And then in that same story, you kind of wonder how things went from one direction to the other. And in the same account here, you have Judas, who was full of the devil.
That's right.
And how he had already had been working and planning on betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see here him here in this chapter where he speaks up and he says, "Oh, what great waste that ointment, it could have been sold." And as the scripture tells us, it wasn't because of what he said it could be sold and given to the poor. It's because the Bible tells us he was a thief. And he was the one who carried the bag or the money of the disciples and took care of the accounting there. You know, I kind of wonder maybe, the way the Bible said there he was a thief, if you would have reckoned the books, that they probably wouldn't have come out right. Because you see, Judas was greed. Judas was, that's all he thought about. That's all he wanted. You know, as I think about today, and the reason most people won't put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, You know what I see? I see greed. I see Judas's. You know, it's not that they don't see the miracles. It's not that Judas did not see Lazarus being rose from the grave. It's not that Judas didn't see the Lord take five loaves and two fishes and feed 5,000 people. It's not that he didn't see those things. It's not that he wasn't there present. The only thing that he could think about was big number one. Himself. How was this situation that he was in going to benefit him? Well, the Bible explains it here. He was a thief. He had his hand in the till. And he was upset that ointment was not sold so that he could get his hands on the money. It was greed. And then we go down and we think of the chief priests and the scribes and Pharisees and the religious leaders of that day. And you wonder how it went from shouting Hosanna to the cross. Well, it's because some religious leader in their pride, and they're not wanting to admit that they were sinners and that they needed a Savior. And all they could think about is, what can we do to cast a shadow on this one they call Jesus? You know, they were plotting an opportunity not only to kill the Lord Jesus Christ, which they were successful in, they were also plotting and looking for an opportunity to kill Lazarus. Simply because Jesus rose him from the grave. Simply because of that testimony and everything that was going on, there were people that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. There were people that turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and turned away from them, and they couldn't stand it because they were prideful. They wanted people to bow down and worship them and worship their religious rituals. And as we go on and we see the scribes and the Pharisees and the things that they've done, and putting that all into account, what really brought it home to me is when I begin to look at verses 37 through 40. But thou had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Esaias, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which was spoken, which he spoke, Lord, who hath believed our report? Or to whom hath our arm of the Lord been revealed? You see, it was all about fulfillment. Because the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's because of sin in this world, our Lord Jesus Christ had to be crucified. And he had to die and pay for the sins. Because as we said, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The cost. And then in verse number 39, it says, and therefore they could not believe, because Elias said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I should heal them. You know, as I read that verse, and the most important thing here is God had a plan. God had a plan to, for eternity, right things between God and man. And what that was going to cost, that was going to cost him coming and being born in a manger. That was gonna cost him living upon this earth for approximately 33 years and doing miracles that people would come just so that they could get what was good for them. And in the end, so many followers, but then so quickly went away. And as we look at that, as we see it, what I see here and what the Bible tells me there, that he blinded their eyes. You see, God has a plan. And it says, and harden their hearts. You see, it was necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to come into Jerusalem. And yes, they praised him. And they put down the palm leaves, they cut down the palm leaves and they put down their garments, and he was led in. But he was going in to fulfill the Father's will, to give salvation. And the Bible even tells us here that he, God, blinded their eyes so that they couldn't see. So they couldn't understand, because it was very important that the fulfillment, that it followed through, because the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. So you see, that's how it got from palm leaves to the cross. Because God was fulfilling a plan to restore our relationship with himself. And the only way that that could come is by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood, which was shed on Calvary's tree to pay for all, to pay for the sins of the world. A very familiar verse. We all know it very well. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, it was the design of God to die and pay for the sins of the world. And I am so very grateful for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I stand before you today a sinner saved by grace. I stand before you with my sins being totally forgotten, not because I'm a good man, it's because we got a great Savior. Because we had a Savior that purposed in his heart that he would fulfill the will of his Father no matter what. Even to the point of their eyes being blinded and their hearts being hardened, so that Scripture would be fulfilled, so that we could stand here today with the Word of God and with full assurance knowing who the Savior is. As we mentioned before, we have a very religious world. People talk about being atheist. You know, there really is no true atheist. There really is no truth atheist. You say, well, you know, I know a guy and he doesn't believe in God. Well, he believes himself to be God. That's right. You see, so there is no true atheist. But what we needed is a Savior. In the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, cleanses us from all sin, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And it was necessary for the things to take place and to go. And you know, as I think about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross and the brutalness of the cross. You'll praise the Lord. Next week we're going to celebrate the anniversary. Or we're going to celebrate the anniversary and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it come at such a great cost. You know, as the Lord Jesus Christ went into Jerusalem and he sat down and began to give instructions to his disciples and Martha and Mary. Martha was busy serving. Martha was busy doing what Martha does and serving serving the table. And Mary was doing what she was doing. And he began to give them instructions. He began to share some things with them, and he began to tell them how it was all going to play out, and how everything was going to go. But it went right over their head. You know, I wonder if we've got some folks here today in our auditorium. You've heard the account in the Word of God of how the Lord Jesus Christ died and paid for your sins. You've heard how he was born of a virgin Mary in Bethlehem, and he raised up, and he started an earthly ministry at the age of 30. Going around doing miracles, and you've heard the message and how he walked into Jerusalem and how he was arrested in the garden, And you've heard the story, and you say, well, I know it all so well. I've heard it over and over again. And you've heard the story about the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and dying for the sins. You know, and again, what we understand is when the Lord Jesus Christ was dying there, he died for the sins for the thief on the right and the thief on the left. But the thief on the left still went to hell. Not because his sins were not died for, because he chose to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I've heard this over and over and over and over again. What I want to ask you here this morning, are your eyes blinded and your hearts hardened? You say, well, did God harden my eyes, or harden my heart and blind my eyes? No. But sometimes what we do is we harden our own heart. We harden our own eyes because it doesn't fit in the plan. You know how the high priest and the children of Israel could stand there 1 minute and scream and holler and yell Hosanna to the Lord, and then a couple of days later yell out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. It was because of a hard heart. It was because of blinded eyes. Well, you see, that was then, and today is today. And if your heart is hardened today, and if your eyes are blind today, it's not because God is doing it. It's because you have chosen to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what I want to challenge you to do today? I want to challenge you, swallow your pride, put your religion aside, and accept the Lord Jesus Christ today. Accept what he did on Calvary. Accept the blood. Don't be like the thief on the left. Don't have the knowledge and reject it. Be like the thief on the right. You know, the thief on the right, as the conversation was going on, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was being reviled on the cross. Eventually, the thief on the right said, hey, we deserve to be here for what we've done. We deserve to die here for the things that we've done, but Jesus is a just man. And he turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and he simply asked him, will you remember me? Amen. And God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross, made him a promise. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Where are you at today? Where is your heart? Is it hardened? Are your eyes blind? I want to encourage you, don't reject. Swallow your pride. Get rid of your religious beliefs. I was talking to a man yesterday here in the church and had the opportunity to witness to him when we were talking about religions and the religions of the world and how many people are deceived. Well, I've shared with you before about religions of the world and how people are deceived. And again, as a believer, I kind of look at that and I kind of think, how in the world can somebody be so deceived that, you know, for example, the Indian people in the country of India, they have over, I believe it's 360 million gods that they try to appease. And they fail miserably at it. Well, because it's impossible to do. But yet they'll work very hard at trying. You know, you've got people that, and I would even dare say maybe somebody here today that has come to church as part of your salvation. Well, I hope you're not depending on that, because you can be a member of Faith Independent Baptist Church, be dunked in the water as often once a week, and you'll still die and go to hell if you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You see, religion says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord Jesus Christ says, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I want to encourage you, wherever you're at today, whether it be pride, whether it be religion, I want to encourage you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The reason it went from praise to crucify is because that is what was necessary for me to have eternal life. And I'm going to stop here in a minute, but I kind of, you know, want us to really understand this. In order to have that done, God blinded the eyes of the people and hardened their hearts so that they would follow through with his plan to make sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Lord Jesus Christ be nailed, be whipped with the cat of nine tails, a crown of thorns plaited on his head, and that it would be followed through, that he would die one of the cruelest deaths that there ever was. Folks, the death of the cross, it's a cruel death. Cruel death. I mean, you think about the beating that he got before he went on the cross, and the Bible says that his back was torn. And you often see the pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and many times as he's hanging there on the cross, his knees are in a bent position. You know why that is? Just think about this for a minute. The death on the cross with your arms nailed and stretched out, and the weight of your body coming down and your arms going up, it collapses your lungs and you can't breathe. But then you have the pain of the nails going through your hands, and it's necessary to push up on that nail going through his feet in order to just grasp a little bit of breath. Can you imagine? Over and over and over again, as the Lord Jesus Christ would pull the weight of his body up on those nails, also having the crown of thorns on his head. You know, it kind of reminds me, we got an old locust tree out here, and you know, they got big long thorns, and every time that he would just kind of lean back and bump up against that and jab those thorns in his head just a little bit further. It was a cruel, horrible death. His blood shed for you and me. And as I think about all of that, and I think of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me, I'm eternally grateful. I'm eternally grateful. I didn't deserve it. I don't deserve it now. And I'll die not deserving it. But you know, that didn't matter to God. What mattered to God is I have a relationship. And you know what's unique about the relationship I have with God? This morning when I got up at 2 a.m., went into my office, and began to pour my heart out to the Lord about today's service and about this coming week and about the needs of our church, he was there with me. He not only heard me, he was there with me. And when I opened up the Word of God and I began to read and I began to look at the passages of Scripture, and the Holy Spirit of God within my heart that spoke to me. You see, salvation, folks, is more than just missing hell. Salvation is having a Savior that's with you while you're still here on earth. Walks through you, walks with you, takes care of every circumstance, every situation in your life, is aware of everything that is going on, and loves you like no one else will ever love you. I'd like to ask you to consider today, where are you? If you were to die in the seat that you're sitting in today, would you wake up in hell? Think about that. If your answer is, I'm not sure, will you allow us to take the Word of God today and show you from the Bible how you can know for sure? How you can have the confidence that when you die, you'll spend eternity in heaven? You might be sitting there today and you might think, well, I don't have to wonder. I know I will spend eternity in hell if I die in the seat I'm sitting in. Well, same applies. The Word of God has an answer for it. You know why it went from Hosanna to the King and Hosanna in the highest to the cross? It's because God blinded the eyes and hardened the hearts of the people that would crucify His Son so that you could have eternal life. Can you imagine standing before God? And you will. Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Can you imagine standing before God and saying, God, yeah, I heard the message, but it just wasn't for me. God, I just chose to go my own way. You know, I've used this illustration before, and I don't know if I've used it here, but it's kind of the best way I can explain it is this way. If I were to, let's just say, for example, one of you all, anybody, were starving to death. You're on your last leg. You're going to die without another meal. And the cost of your meal was my son's life. So that you could survive, so that you could live, so that you could move on. And let's just say that I'm so kind-hearted that I do take my son's life so that you could live. And I come up and I present you a life-saving meal, something that will that will sustain you for the rest of your life. And you look at me and say, not for me. Now, I don't want that. I'm looking for something else. You know how angry I'd be with you? I'd skin you from head to toe. I'd make sure that you died the most miserable death that you could ever die. I'd make it hurt as long as I could make it hurt. One day you're going to stand before God, who's given His Son to die and pay for your sins. And for you to be so proud of yourself to say, God, that wasn't for me. Can I tell you how hot hell's going to be? Can I tell you how long that you're going to spend eternity there? Eternity, it defines itself. I want to encourage you, if you're not saved today, will you get saved? You say, well, preacher, you're trying to scare me into it. I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so. Because what I'm telling you, as we would say it, is the God's honest truth. I don't want it for you, and God doesn't want it for you. Think about it. For God to harden the hearts of those people that would brutalize His Son and nail Him to a cross, blind their eyes and to harden their hearts so that you could be saved. I'd say that's an awesome God. I'd say that's a God worth turning to. I'd say that's a God worth serving. And that's my God. That's my Savior. That's my Jesus. And that's how much He loves. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I can't help but to think we have some folks that have tuned in to our service that are not saved. Lord, I pray that You'd help them to realize that they need to turn to You and put their faith and trust in You so that they can have eternal life. And Father, I don't know the hearts of each and every one that are gathered here today at our church. But Lord, if there be anybody that does not know for sure that they're saved, Lord, I pray that they would respond at the invitation. Come and let us take the Word of God and show them how they can know they're saved. And Father, I just pray that you'd have your will in your way. Lord, we've got Christians in the room that are harboring ill feelings towards another brother. Lord, we've got Christians in the room that are not living the way that they should live. Lord, I pray that you would help them to have the desire to get those things right with their brother. Lord, to get those things right in their life. And Lord, be willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to live holy and righteously before you and to go into all the world and tell everyone about you. And Father, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in our invitation. In your name we pray. Amen.